Let me invite you tonight to the book of Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 reads this way. And Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my handmaid. It may be by that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. Lord, we ask for the blessing of your Spirit to guide us and to empower and to fill us, Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, that you might be exalted and glorified and our lives drawn closer to you and to one another, and that you might have a testimony in our lives of your great grace. Bless, Lord, build your church and all your churches tonight, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is, And Abram Hearkened to the Voice of Sarai. And Abram Hearkened to the Voice of Sarai. Now, I want you to know that I'm not picking on Sarai tonight. We call her Sarah and Abram or Abraham. I know it's before they were actually called that, but we're not picking on them, but we do want to evaluate the truths that God has penned down. You know, this is how we know that the Word of God was not written by man. Now, it was written through man, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, because mankind has too much pride, and he would cut out all of the errors and all of the flaws, but God has seen fit to include them, that we might understand that all of these individuals were just flesh and blood like you and I, and the difference that was made in their lives was by the grace of God. Guess what? Just like you and I, God can make the difference in our lives. But sometimes we get in front of the Lord. And so the Word of God warns us not to step in front of God. But once again, in the midst of knowing God's promise and plan, impatience can cause us to step out or in front of the will of God for our lives. And so tonight I want to look at just three thoughts, and that is the Lord's restraint, 10 years in the land, and God's mercy and grace. And so we just want to take a brief moment here to consider these things. God has had promised Abram that he was going to make his seed as the stars in heaven. And so God did fulfill that promise, is still in the business of fulfilling that, because we also, it's not just Israel, we also are considered, those who are part of the local New Testament church are part of those lights and that seed that he had promised to Abram. God saw all that before we were ever even created. Isn't that amazing? So let's consider these things. Let's look at the first two verses and notice the Lord's restraint. Here's something interesting to ponder. Notice what Sarai says. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. Now, let me ask you this question. Did the Lord know that? Of course he knew that, right? So she has no children. Did the Lord promise her that she was going to have a child and it was going to be through them? He did promise that. And so, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. God never said to Abram that you're going to, through Sarai's handmaid, but he said through your loins. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Now that's true. That's true. But I want you to know this, before she ever even got started, her womb was dead. It was beyond her capabilities, physically speaking, to bear any children. So she needed to wait upon the Lord. And so really, it wasn't the Lord's timing, really, in her life. And sometimes we get a little impatient as well, and we want things to hurry up and happen. But God says everything in its time, because everything is coming together and falling into place the way that God wants it to take place in our lives. Now, I want you to consider something. I want you to think about something as we evaluate this situation here. Do you think Sarai would have considered another wife for Abraham before she was given God's promise? Let me ask you this. How many women say, you know, I found my prince charming, right? Ladies who've been married, and then they say, you know, I would like for him to have another wife too.
right? See, that is just not natural. That is just not right, right? God. Now listen, I know that there are some people in the Bible that had more than one wife, right? That's where we go. More than one wife, but here's what I want you to understand. There was no peace in that home. There was no peace in that home. That was not God's intention. He may have allowed it, but that's not the way the Lord had designed everything and set everything to go. And so when we consider this, I don't think Sarai would have ever dreamed of that. Thought never entered into her mind. In fact, she probably said, if a woman looks at him the wrong way, you know, she might encounter some problems. And so anyway, in this particular case, what I want you to see is that she came to the point in place in order to fulfill God's will that she was even, listen, she was going into a place that God never ordained, and she was going into a realm that, naturally speaking, is all fights against what our natural tendencies are. Our natural love for one another, for husband and wife, is just to have that one husband and that one wife. And so she is out of sorts. And likewise, in our lives, sometimes we can get maybe desperate. But listen, the wisest thing to do is if there's a lot of turmoil, if there's a lot of stress, don't do anything. That is the worst time to make any kind of decisions when you're anxious. It's better just to wait. God's not the author of confusion, and he's not the author of stress, and he's not the author of anxiety and all these things, because God's design is for you and I to have his peace and his joy, even through difficult circumstances. Now listen, this is a hard concept to understand. God made us emotional, and we do have valleys, but God wants us to have our hearts and minds stayed on him, even in those valley times. It's hard sometimes, but you know what? We need to rest in the Lord at those times and look to him and know that he holds us in his hands, and he will carry us through the storm to the other side of whatever that trial or tribulation is that you might be going through. We just need to wait upon the Lord. Don't get out in front of him. Don't come up with some great idea, or don't try to say, well, this will work or that will work. A lot of times what we do is we make a bigger mess of our situation than to just wait on the Lord. And by the way, does the Lord know where we're at? The greatest thing that Abraham could have done was look to the voice of God. Amen? Same for Sarai. Sarai could have said, listen, husband Abram, you need to call upon the Lord. We need to get together and ask God for direction, for wisdom. What do we do in this situation? And listen, sometimes God says, just wait. Don't do anything. Just wait. I'm rooting things out of your life. I'm causing you not to look to yourself and to just trust me, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it appears that the world is turned upside down. I just want you to wait. You know, the good thing is, listen, does God hold everything in his hands? Everything? Are you serious? Everything? Then why is it, listen to me, that we get so anxious when things don't go the way that we think they should go? Right? Oh my goodness. Listen, I want you to know I get anxious. I said we, right? Sometimes I get anxious and I have to remind myself, wait a minute. It's all right. God holds everything in his hands. Okay. So let's consider this here as we consider the Lord's restraint. Again, God knew what he was doing, did he not? It wasn't time yet. Was it time for Abram and Sarai to have a child? No, it wasn't. What was God waiting? God was waiting for there to be no strength at all, for Sarai to be completely dead and for Abram to be completely dead. In fact, if you'll remember, we're not going to look at it. So he's 10 years now in the land. So he's 10 years older now, and the promise is still not fulfilled, but God was going to wait till he turned 100. Right? 99 anyway. And Sarah, when he was 100, Isaac would be born. And that would be, listen, this is such a hard concept. We understand it. I understand it. But I want you to know, we don't really always understand it. God will bring it to pass. we have this inclination to help the Lord along. And God will bring it to pass. We don't have to help the Lord. And so, let's take a look at the 10 years in the land. Look at verse 3. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. That is just not right. And I think Sarai had this in her heart, but she was so impressed upon zeal she had without really waiting on the Lord. She got in front of the Lord and she did this. And notice what happens here. So she gives this handmaid to Abram in verse 4, and he went into Hagar and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, Hagar, her mistress, was despised in her eyes. Hagar looked at Sarai and said, I got the child with your husband. Hey, listen, you know what? I am loftier than you now, right? I have a higher position. And no, listen, it was a mess. So what happens here? Verse 5. And Sarai said unto Abram, listen to this, my wrong be upon thee. My wrong be upon... Does she see this as right or wrong? But wait a minute. Did it just become right or wrong, or was it wrong before she even got started? See, it was wrong before she even got started. Listen, we cannot go against the laws and the principles of God and expect them to ever be right. God will not wink or look... Listen, we don't want to try... God is a merciful God, but... May we never make that the premise of our treading into sin or our going beyond what God says is right and wrong and doing our own thing. And so Sarai in verse 5 says unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. So what does Abram do? Verse 6. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. So she did do. She said, Abram says, now listen, you do as it pleases to, you know, you to do. And she did. She gave her what for? And I can't imagine, you know, what she said, but, you know, she said, get out. Right? Basically, get out of here. But she's the one that invited her in. And so was Abram. And so Abram, well, I'm not excusing Abram. Abram really should have been the spiritual leader and said, now, wait a minute, Sarai, we're getting in front of God here. But listen, what God would have us to see is our vulnerability in the father of the godly seed. And that's Abram. And isn't it amazing? See, let's just consider Abram. He was not anything without God. In fact, with God, if it wasn't for God, we would still be full of mistakes. Even with God, we have the potential, as Abram did. And so what we would consider tonight as we look to our text is even though we have made mistakes, listen, God is never done with us. If we will repent and turn to Him, He is the prodigal father, right? He is the prodigal son's father who was waiting with outstretched arms. He's not busy about doing it. He's waiting to see us coming down the road that He might receive us back to Himself. And that's important because God doesn't want us to be failures. God has saved us to empower us to bring honor and glory to His name. Okay, so we see these 10 years in the land. I want you to see God's mercy and grace. Look at verse 7 with me. And the angel of the Lord found her, this is Hagar, by the fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? That's a good question. Where did you come? Where are you coming from, and where are you going? You know, she didn't really know, did she? She really didn't know. All she knew was she was kicked out. And she was on her way somewhere. And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hand. See, that was the real problem. The real problem was that this woman, Hagar, elevated herself out of her position. Now, I want you to know something. Listen, she was in the house of a godly family. And the only reason why they were godly was because they were looking to the Lord. Imperfect as they were still seeking God. And that's a good thing. But listen, pride is our natural tendency. I can do this myself. That is pride. That's what Sarai did. That's what Abram did. That's what Hagar did. And now look at the Lord reaching out to Hagar and saying, go back, submit yourself, right? And how does she do that? I'm sorry. You're the boss. Amen? You're the boss. And so, verse 9, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child and shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael, which interpreted means God shall hear, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Did you hear that? The Lord hath heard the affliction. Did the Lord hear the affliction of the people in Israel for 400 years? He did. And he knows our affliction as well. And he will be a wild man, verse 12. His hand will be against every man, and in every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me, for she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore, the well was called Beer Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare him a son. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael. So here he is. Still, listen, he's created a mess. He really has. The mercy of God is trying to square it away. Now, the mercy of God extends to all who receive his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no difference now between any creed of people. God sees them all the same. You're either saved or you're not. That's how it is. That's how it's broken up. There was one race at one time, and then Babel, and then God confused and divided the languages, and then we've got all these different groups of people. But they're all ones for whom Christ died, and they're all ones for whom God wants to glorify himself through. And so as we consider this, Abraham is 80. I know I keep calling him Abraham, but it's Abram. And he's 86 years old. And still, listen, there's still about 13 or 14 more years for him to go, because Abram needs to come to the end of himself. And God is wanting to bring us to the end of ourselves, that we'll look to him. And you know, it's not a bad thing to say, Lord, help me to not look to myself. Help me not to use my wisdom, but your wisdom. Because we can come up with what we think are some pretty good ideas. Do you imagine to think that Sarai thought Hagar was a good idea? She did. She realized how bad that idea was. You ever do something like that? Come up with a really good idea, and then after you do it, you realize that was not such a hot idea, right? And so God is wanting us to know that he understands us in that. We don't use that for an excuse. Do you think Sarai and Abram ever wanted to repeat that mistake again? No, they realized that, listen, we stepped out in front of the Lord. And so, you know, listen, in your life and mine, it is a process that God is doing. And Abraham, who is the friend of God, if he could step out of the will of God, we can too. And so it's a growing process that we might say, Lord, show me how to walk. Lord, show me how to follow you. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I can follow you today. Our spirit, you can tell when somebody, you ever heard this? They're just so full of themselves, right? You can't tell them anything. They're just so full of themselves. We can be that way, can't we? We can just be so full of self. And even spiritually speaking, if we're not careful, we can think we've got it all figured out. There are people, you know, do you remember back in 1988, there was a book written, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 1988. Do you remember that book? Boy, that went over well, didn't it? Somebody wrote a book. I can't tell you who the author was. But no, who would have believed that? 88 Reasons Why Jesus Was Coming in 1988. Man, that he was so... And I'm afraid to say, I don't know who the author is. I can't remember. But I would dare say he probably wrote another book after that too. And probably somebody bought it. I would dare say that's a false prophet, wouldn't you? And yet if we're not careful, we don't want to listen to the wrong advice. We can be wrong, but you know there's one person and only one that is right all the time. And that's our God. And God says that we might humbly walk with Him and that we would love mercy and His grace. Not just to be the recipients of it, but by the grace of God realize, you know, they're ones for whom Christ died. And may they experience the love and the mercy of God that He gives me. He's not just giving it to me. He gives it to me. And you know what He knows? I need it every day. I need it every day. I am one step from making a wrong turn every day. I am one step from walking my own way. I'm one step. And that reveals humility. I need the Lord. How do I prove that I need the Lord? Well, I seek His word. I have to seek His word. I have to take time and pray. Knocking on the door of God is you setting aside some time somewhere. You don't have to be on your knees, especially if you can't physically, but find you a seat somewhere where you can talk to the Lord and make it a nice place. This is a beautiful time of the year. If you've got a nice back porch or front porch and you can get alone where it's quiet and just talk to the Lord, you will treasure that time that you have with the Lord and see that God will meet you there and see that He will give you the peace in the midst of the storm so that the world can see, so that your family can see your God in you. And they'll say, you know what? They may not be perfect, but they've got something I need. And that is a peace that passes understanding that only God can give. But if we're full of ourselves, doesn't it stand to reason we're not full of the Lord? We're not filled with His Spirit if it's ourself that's guiding us. And so may we humbly walk with our God and say, Lord, I need Thee, don't we? Every hour, oh, how I need Thee. Would you stand as we have a time of invitation? And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, the wisdom and understanding that it brings to our hearts and minds. We ask that You bless this time of invitation. And may we seek You, Lord, and call upon You to guide us in Your ways. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.